Huge day over at the Steelers. First day in pads. They're getting ready here to start warming up at the end of the hour at about 1:55. Plus, the Pat McAfee show is in town. Danny Smith got invited on the show. Sean, how about that? I didn't see that one coming. Did you?
He's not going to be able to answer anything. He's going to be busy chewing gum the whole time.
I just looked. He wasn't chewing gum. He's a great interview, though. That's a good choice by McAfee. Now, the big news might be that Cabali apparently didn't get invited on the show. He's Pat. He's Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee show.
Is there a rift?
How does he not get invited?
That's a good question. He's such a diligent reporter that he couldn't step away from his obligations.
Maybe, one of which was to talk to us. But the other piece of news is that Aaron Rodgers has spoken today. And our Jeff, was it Jeff who turned this around this quickly?
Yes, it was.
Kudos to him. Man. We have about 5 minutes of Aaron Rodgers with reporters. Let's get right to it, shall we?
Aaron, it looks like you're having a lot of fun out there. Are you? And how does a guy be doing this as long as he's been doing it and still have fun at camp?
I mean, once it stops being fun, you should probably hang it up. So I love that we're out here in the Trove. I love the opportunity for true camaraderie at nighttime after meetings are done. Guys hang out. You know, guys come into my room. Last night I was in Highsmith's room. It's pretty cool to see everybody hanging out the way they are, and it's a lot of fun.
Aaron, you've played in a lot of really great offenses over the years. What do you like about this offense under Arthur Smith specifically?
I like the flexibility. You know, Arthur's not rigid in what he's doing. He wants to tailor the scheme to personnel that you got, and when you bring in a Kenny Gainwell, bring in a Jonnu Smith, bring in DK Metcalf, and myself with some of the stuff I've done over the years, you know, we're trying to find out what guys do best and implement that in the offense. So I love that about Arthur. So we're going to keep doing that.
First day of actual pads today. What are you looking forward to for that?
Listen, I mean, I love throwing run solutions. You know, when the box is loaded, and you got one-on-ones outside. But today I'm going to kind of let it go. I haven't been a part of a true tackling period in a long time. So there might be some times where in a game I might want to spit it out to DK or Calvin, but today I might just hand it off to Jalen and see what happens.
When was the last time you were in a tackling
session? I was trying to rack my brain sitting next to AJ over there, but it's been a long time. It's got to be, you know, over a decade.
Do you think people were overlooking Jalen Warren with the rookie in the backfield, Caleb Johnson?
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know what the narratives are out there, but Jalen's super smart. Just from playing against him, I know he was a great changeup back. He was great in protection, great on third downs. But I think he can be a three-down back, and that's the biggest compliment you give a running back.
You like the way he protects you, too?
Well, we haven't had pads on yet, okay. But I like what I've seen on some old clips, yeah.
How has the defense helped you guys improve? It seems like they're giving you guys a lot of looks, and you're doing that back. How have you seen you guys' chemistry improve against them?
I mean, they played pretty soft the first 4 days, so you know, it was a lot of checkdowns and different things. But we got a lot of players on that side of the ball. You know, obviously we brought in Jalen, got multiple guys that can rush, got a good interior rush, got great linebackers who are multiple, can cover and pressure and fill holes. So you know, it's going to be a good test for us. I think for any offense, it's kind of trying to find their footing as we are. It's not a bad thing to get beat up a little bit. So. If we go out there today and they kind of get after us a little bit, that'll be the best thing for us. So you're not hoping for that because you want to have great practices, but you know, sometimes you can learn more from the failures in training camp than getting after them every single day.
Aaron, how has the acclimation gone with Zach on the offensive line? How do you feel that's meshing?
Well, it starts with Zach. I mean, Zach is a highly intelligent player, and it helps because as much as I have a good feel for the offense, I'm not what I would call an expert of the offense yet. You become an expert. Well, I become an expert when you break the huddle and you can see the picture in your mind. And every now and then the picture's a little fuzzy still, so I'm still working some things out. But Zach is so freaking smart. He's making some calls for me. And I told him the other day, I said, don't get used to that. I said, at some point I'm gonna be making the calls for you. But he's got a real good disposition for a center. He's obviously a talented player. And I think his leadership is what I'd like to see most continue to grow because the leadership often grows at the same rate as the performance, and everybody knows what kind of player he is, so he's going to have more opportunities to lead.
Why was he your first pick for a fight today during pads?
Because if you watch the first 4 days, there was two matchups that they brought out a little bit of angst, shall we say. And when he gets those big West Virginia paws on somebody, that could definitely start something.
You mentioned two more guys, two more in the offense. How long does that process take for you to start seeing the picture come in a little bit more clearly at the snap?
No, I mean, I want to have it down by the end of this week, but we'll see.
You getting to know Jalen Ramsey at all? How's he as a teammate?
He's a tempo violator in the walkthroughs. I like Jalen. I have a ton of respect for him, what he's accomplished in his career. He's a very versatile guy. I was telling him we were walking to the calf one of these days, and I was reminding him how Charles Woodson, late in his career, moved to safety. And there's, you know, truly only a few elite guys who've done everything that he's done. If you think about it, you can play outside corner and dominate, you can play nickel and dominate, and then go to safety and be a dominant player. And I think he can do all three of those things.
That last part was very interesting. How much safety will we see Jalen Ramsey play? And he's right about Charles Woodson and also Rod Woodson. Both played safety late in their careers. And, you know, it takes all-time type of talent to be able to do that. Well, you have it there and you have it here in Jalen Ramsey. I don't know, Sean, am I starting to get the Steeler flu here? I feel like I am. When I hear him mention some of the weapons that they brought in, I think Gainwell could be an underrated weapon. Jonnu Smith and DK Metcalf, they brought in some pretty nice talent on the offensive side of the ball. I was reading Dulac's chat today where there's a lot of angst, including from Jerry, on the lack of a true number two, bona fide number two receiver. Is it going to matter that much? I mean, if, and this is a big if, Rodgers can still play, I think they have adequate weaponry. They kind of scoffed in the Dulac chat about the idea of a tight end playing the role of receiver too. To me, it's all interchangeable. If you line up on a third down with Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith and Gainwell and DK Metcalf, what do we, and maybe Austin, what does it matter? What does it matter if you have a true receiver too? Isn't Jonnu Smith half man, half receiver type thing? Who cares if he's listed as a tight end?
We talked about Baltimore, and that's sort of what the Ravens have done for a few years now with Likely and Andrews. You know, you could argue that two of their three best pass catchers are the tight ends, and they find a way to use both of them. And they're not a prolific passing attack, but they've been a very effective one. So, yeah, I don't think you necessarily need a wide receiver too if you're using two tight ends that both can catch passes quite a bit.
And a running back coming out of the backfield who can catch and make plays, and he's a first down maker, Gainwell. Listen, I'd love to have one, but I'm not. The big question to me is, is Rodgers going to have adequate time to make plays? Can he still move around and avoid tacklers behind line of scrimmage? Is he going to want to get rid of the ball the way Ben did late in his career? Or is he still going to be able to buy a little time and deliver? And if he can, if he has time, and if he can buy more if he needs it, we know he still has the arm. We know he still has the football acumen. I think they have pretty adequate weaponry. That's just me.
I would say that the Jets had maybe even better options around him last year, certainly after the Devontae Adams trade, because they had two legitimate star receivers.
Well, they couldn't protect him, and he didn't look like he could protect himself very well either. But
and I think those same questions would linger this year.
Because
the Jets probably, when you factor in Breece Hall's ability, might be even better at those skill positions. And not that Rodgers struggled mightily the entire time, but we saw it wasn't, you know, a good enough season for him to have a winning team. So I don't know that this year with the guys around him in Pittsburgh would be much different, other than what you said, which was the offensive line potentially could be a differentiating factor. And it seems like he's very confident in the guy who's snapping him the football, which is a good sign.
I'll say, get those big West Virginia paws on somebody. We should, Crowley is salivating right now, isn't
Crowley
he?
Does not have big paws, I can say that.
No, he doesn't. We've played, have you played basketball with him?
He refused to play at the five alarm.
Did he?
Yeah, he refused. I begged him. We implored him. I think we bribed him. He wouldn't do it.
Well, this guy, hold on a second here, Sean. I almost just sneezed right into the mic. Not that I've never done that before, but...
God bless you.
Listen, I think there are some reasons for optimism, and I can feel myself starting to fall under a spell here. I mentioned it a couple of segments ago. There's a small part of me that thinks they can be really good. Right now, if I had to pick, I think typical 10-8 get blown out in the playoffs. But I'm very eager to see how this preseason evolves. You know what I think their undoing might be? Broderick Jones and the offensive line.
I don't know where they pivot if he does not work out.
I mean, where do you pivot? Ron Cook's son, Ryan Cook, Dylan Cook, is that his name? Spencer Anderson? I don't know,
there's
man.
A couple Andersons, I think. Yeah, none of those guys are anywhere close to being proven solutions at one of the most important positions on the offense.
Agreed. Jerry Dulac's chat is out in the meantime. I didn't see a whole lot else there in Aaron Rodgers. It seems like between McAfee and talking to Pittsburgh reporters, it was pretty tame today. Yes?
Yeah, I would say so. I do think he continues to do what you said is basically should be the bare minimum, which is give thoughtful answers, not create any issues. Seemingly, he's very positive, very laid back. We heard that from Mark as well. So if you read into that stuff, I guess it's a positive. But to your point, I think what's really going to matter is what happens in the second half of the season with his play, and will he continue to be so positive and supportive and such a good teammate if things go south?
Yeah, I mean, once you start to get hit, then everything changes, you know, for everybody, not just him. But it's going to be, I think they're the biggest story in the NFL in training camp right now. I think the Steelers, because of Rodgers, are the biggest story in the league. And a whole lot of other reasons, too. I mean, when I turn on these shows in the morning, it's usually a lot of Cowboys. I've been seeing a lot of Steelers. All eyes are on this team right now. And the preseason is going to be fascinating. The opener against the Jets is going to be, it should be a night game, first of all. I wrote today in the Post-Gazette about the two Steelers that could define the season ahead. Obviously, this is aside from Rodgers. You could say about any team, the way the quarterback goes, so goes the team. And then there's a lot of other kind of X-factor players who might have some star potential. We don't know about them yet, who could heavily influence the season. People like Fatanu, somebody like a Peyton Wilson, Caleb Johnson, Keanu Benton. Who knows what we'll see with Nick Herbig this year, depending on whether the people in front of him stay healthy. But there's two guys, really, beyond the quarterback. And this is assuming that the veterans, Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, DK Metcalf, Ramsey, perform as their resumes would indicate, right? This is all things being equal. The two big boomer bust X-factor type players, to me, are Broderick Jones and Joey Porter Jr. Taken, what, 18 picks apart 3 years ago? It's year three. Jones is 24. Porter's 25. They play critical positions. Jones obviously protecting the 41-year-old quarterback's blind side. And Porter likely going to be going against a bunch of number one receivers who this year would include Garrett Wilson, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, bunches of guys just like that for a good majority of the season. And his development, if he fulfills his potential, then that definitely allows you to move Ramsey around as you like and protects Darius Slay in what might be the last year of his career. The problem is that everybody's talking about these two guys, Jones and Porter, as breakout players last year, and instead they both struggled. A lot of times there were more like breakdown players. Pro Football Focus had Joey Porter as 161st ranked corner out of 222 last year. Now, you can say they're way off, but nobody except Joey is putting Joey in the elite category. That's for sure. Over two seasons, he has 18 penalties and two interceptions. Year three is gigantic for him and for the Steelers to have him fulfill his potential, and the exact same is true about Broderick Jones. And Broderick Jones allowed more sacks than any right tackle in football last year. Tons of pressures as well, right up and through that debacle in Baltimore where he allowed a sack and a couple pressures in that game. Now the hope is he's moving back to his natural position. We'll see if he's out on the field today. Had some sort of soft tissue injury. Say Amalo already has apparently something like that. that offensive line is going to be something to watch. But those two players, because of their star potential, their pedigree, and the positions that they play of critical importance to me, are the big X-factor players for the Steelers, Broderick Jones and Joey Porter Jr. The Steelers moved up three spots to get Broderick. They got him at number 14. There's only three players since the year 2000 that they have chosen, that they've had a higher draft pick with than the 14th pick. Can you name those players, John? Don't call me Seth Meyers.
Since 2000?
Wrong.
Devin Bush.
Yes.
Was Plax in 2000?
Yes, he was. He was eighth overall. Very good. You got
and
one more.
Big Ben.
You're right. City Limits wouldn't have guessed that.
No.
Dom definitely would not have. Intern Dom.
Dom wasn't even born when any of those guys played, except for maybe the last couple seasons of Big Ben's.
Well, he wasn't born when Roger Staubach played, but he was telling us yesterday that Staubach was better than Bradshaw. And he might be right. I went home and looked at like tons of top 10 lists from respected people. And I would say the majority had Staubach above Bradshaw, which I never really considered. But there it was. Anyway, they moved up to 14. They moved up three spots to get Broderick Jones. And he has struggled. That's inarguable. And they were also in need of a corner that year, hence picking Joey Porter Jr. 32nd. And they passed up Christian Gonzalez, who is on the verge of becoming a star. You could say he's one already in New England. He was second team All-Pro last year. So this is a huge year. Remember, we were calling him the con artist when he went out and got that 32nd pick from the Bears, and then they got Broderick Jones and Joey Porter Jr. Those are two huge, huge investments. And now you look at him going into year three, and I would say both are huge question marks. I know Joey was quoted last week as saying we have three elite defensive backs on this team, clearly including himself. He'd be the only one, including himself right now. He's got the talent to do it. So does Jones, very clearly, but it's time to show for both those guys. Coming up, we'll pick apart more Aaron Rodgers quotes from today, see if there was anything else that was especially interesting. And then the PM guys indirectly attacking me, really. And all of you out there who would put Ben over Brett Favre on the all-time quarterback list. Art Rooney, the second, said that Ben belongs in the top 10. I fully agree. I think he's above Favre. And I'm going to tell you why next. And I think it's a pretty airtight case, as a matter of fact. Those guys said that no objective person could even look at that and choose Ben. I'll tell you why they're the ones who are crazy. Coming up next, Fan Twitter, brought to you by Southside Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southsidekia.net. Fan Text Line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the time right now is 1:28, brought to you by Gina G. and Petro of Remax Select Realty.